Turn with me, please, tonight to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Take this opportunity to thank Reverend Horace this evening in the session for the invitation along to this Monday night harvest service. It is always a privilege and a joy to preach the Word of God. And so I'm glad to be here this evening. Do count it a joy and an honour. I want to read from the opening verses of this chapter tonight, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. These are very solemn words that we are coming to consider this evening. Let's read from the opening verse of this chapter, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him, that is Christ, unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. We'll end there at verse number 11, and we look to the Lord to add his blessing to the reading of his word to our hearts. It's the little phrase that we find at the end of verse number 9 that we want to center our thoughts upon this evening. Herod asked the Lord many things. But here is the damning indictment now upon Herod's life. The Lord, he answered him nothing. I want this evening, by the help of God, to speak on the subject of Herod's time of harvest. Herod's time of harvest. Will you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer, as we seek his face and as we come before the word of God tonight. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us already in this meeting. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for the singing, the praise that has been offered to thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the sacrifice of the lips of thy dear people tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the singing. We thank thee for those who have ministered to us in song, and what a blessing it has been to us. Though God, we pray that now as we come around the Word of God, now as we look into the Scriptures of truth this evening, we ask, O God, that this night you be pleased to send thy Holy Spirit in an even greater way. Lord, would you give help to this preacher tonight to rightly divide the Scriptures of truth? O God, we stand in such a great need tonight, helpless and hopeless of ourselves, we can do nothing. And therefore, O God, we look to thee tonight for the help of the Spirit. God, we pray as well that you'll send thy Spirit to each one. And Lord, tonight, especially for those who may be gathered in this meeting out of Christ, we pray, Lord, that this will be a very different meeting. We ask, O God, tonight that you'll make this a very uncomfortable meeting for them. We ask, O God, that tonight you'll disturb the sleep of death. O God, we pray that tonight sinners might be brought to that realization of just how they stand before a holy God. Lord, that this night they might flee to Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to consider thy word this evening, And you will open the Scriptures of truth. Open our eyes. Open our hearts to receive that word to our hearts tonight. Bless us, we pray now. Continue on with us, we ask. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The very basic fundamental law of harvest, of course, is that you reap what you sow. You sow potato seeds, you'll reap a potato harvest. You sow the barley seeds, you will reap a barley harvest. That is always true in the physical, natural realm. But what is true in the physical realm is also true in the spiritual. Because what you sow spiritually, you will also reap spiritually. Now I know that today in this age of easy believism where anything goes as far as the church is concerned, this truth of reaping what you sow is so alien to many. Because the common thought today is that you can live in your sin. And you can live it up in your sin as long as you want. And still at the end of time enter God's heaven. That you can turn your back on Christ and turn away from the gospel and somehow still at the end of your life that God will open heaven to you and welcome you in. And that God will ignore your sin and receive you gladly. Can I say to you right at the very commencement of this message this evening, as we come to consider the life, the account of this man Herod tonight, that if you live in your sin, rejecting Jesus Christ and rejecting His gospel, if you never forsake your sin, if you never leave your sin, never abandon your sin, then you will reap a harvest for your sin. You sow seeds of sin, you will reap a sinful harvest of God's wrath. Because I want us this evening to speak and to see of a man in Scripture who lived in sin, lived rejecting the Word of God, and reaped the consequences for that. That man we have read of this evening by the name of Herod. And here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, the Lord has been brought before Herod to be tried. Even though the outcome was already predetermined. The Lord knew all about that, but Christ is given over from Herod, from Pilate to Herod to be tried. It was Herod who ruled over that part of Galilee at that time. That region of Galilee. It was, as far as Pilate was concerned, it was Herod's jurisdiction. And so as Christ is brought before Pilate, he can find no fault in him, and so he fobs him off now to Herod. And we find in verse number 8 that when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. As we come to this particular stage in the Lord's life, and he's brought now before Herod, Herod wants to hear from the Lord. Herod wants to see the Lord do some spectacular supernatural miracle. And so in verse number 9, we read of Herod asking the Lord many questions. But there wasn't one answer from the Lord. Herod's curiosity was not satisfied. It was not given into by the Lord, but rather this big sinner, this wretched man, as we'll go on to see, this ungodly, immoral man who was bound for hell and lost in his sin, that man who needed more than anything else to hear from the Lord. To hear the voice of God, all he heard was silence from the lips of the Savior. This was an awful silence for Herod. This was a dreadful silence for Herod, because I believe it was this silence that sentenced and sealed Herod's destiny. It's an awful, terrible, terrible thing. And the Lord is silent. And when the voice of the Savior is no longer heard, when no words come from the lips of Christ, you see, Herod now is reaping the harvest of his sinful life. And dear sinner in this meeting tonight, that is a terrible, a tragic reality. And can I say to you this evening that if God is speaking to you, perhaps even over this harvest weekend, and God has been challenging you, and you know things are not right in your life, you're not right before God, you're not saved, and God is still speaking and still striving with you tonight, can I urge you, don't turn away from that voice, because you may never hear the voice of God again. As we go through this message tonight, you will see that Herod expected to hear from God. Herod believed he was going to hear something from the mouth of the Savior that day. But he heard nothing. The Savior was silent to the sinner. This was Herod's time of harvest. I want you to see with me here as we consider the account of this man's life. I want you to see the privilege, first of all, that Herod enjoyed. Because while in this chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Savior is silent before Herod, yet on a previous occasion, Herod enjoyed a wonderful privilege. And that was of hearing the Lord's voice. Of feeling the weight of his sin. On a previous time. In Matthew and Mark's account of some of the events in Herod's life, we come across a time when Herod encountered the great John the Baptist, that great preacher of truth and righteousness. And as you read through the gospel accounts and the discussions between Herod and John the Baptist, you will find that through the lips of John, Christ was speaking and striving with this man. The Lord used John the Baptist to speak to Herod. The Lord used his servant to challenge Herod. And as John the Baptist spoke to Herod, and as he challenged Herod, he did so concerning his sin. You see, no preacher of the gospel can ever preach the gospel without challenging men and women about their sin. No true, faithful gospel witness or herald can ever overlook man's sin. Because that is the root of the problem in every life. It's sin. John was faithful to his calling and faithful to Herod, because he challenged Herod concerning his sin. And what a catalogue of sin Herod had. He was a cruel, immoral man. He had taken his brother's wife in adultery onto himself. He had broken the law of nature, by nature, yes, but also by practice. He was living immorally. And it was this sin that John brought before Herod and challenged him about the way he was living. And in Matthew chapter 14, in the verse number 4, we read this, John confronting Herod with his sin, and he said, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." In other words, you have broken the law of God. What is the breaking of the law of God? It's sin. You go through all the law of God. You break it in any part. Sin. And so John is faithful and he challenges this man about his sin. You see, God has been speaking to Herod and showing him his sin, brought before him the reality of his sin, that he wasn't living right, that he was a sinner, and that before Almighty God he was condemned. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, after hearing that message concerning his sin, that Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy. You see, Herod for that time was under the weight of his sin. He felt the weight of his sin. He was convicted. The testimony and the witness of this man of God was against his life. What was happening in Herod's life? He was confronted with his sin. He was convicted. He was troubled for a season. But the problem is that he never did anything about it. He didn't seek to put matters right. He didn't repent of his sin. He didn't heed the message. Oh, here was the Lord, through the lips of John the Baptist, speaking to this evil, wicked, sinful man. So much so that he feared John the Baptist. But that was as far as it went. There was conviction, but there was no conversion. And maybe I'm speaking to someone in this meeting tonight, and perhaps even in recent days, you've been under conviction of your sin. You felt the weight and the heaviness of your sin. As God's servant has been speaking to you and preaching to you, you realize tonight you're not saved. You realize tonight that you're lost and on your way to a lost eternity. God is speaking to you. God is challenging you. But what have you done about it? What have you done about it? Have you just went on in your merry way thinking, well, I'll hear the Lord again? Herod at that time, when he feared John and when he was under weight, the weight and the conviction of his sin, he just put it to the back of his mind and just went on sinning. And sinner tonight, if God is speaking to you, striving with you, challenging you, please, I urge you in Christ's name, don't disregard that message. God is challenging you tonight about your sin. You need to deal with that sin. By leaving that sin, by abandoning that sin, turning from that sin and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege Herod had. He heard and he was confronted with his sinful life. He may not have realized it at that time, but it was the greatest privilege he could ever have heard. And tonight you are here. And God has been speaking to you. And sinner, in this meeting, God has been challenging you. And God's Holy Spirit is striving with you and showing you your sin. What a privilege. What a privilege. Don't disregard it. Don't deny it. Like Felix, who trembled under the weight of Paul's preaching, the Lord was clearly speaking to him, but he rejected the voice of God. And what did he say? Another time. Another time. When I have a more convenient season. Are you waiting for that more convenient season, sinner? It may never come. Behold, now is the accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put off the day, the moment of your salvation, thinking that you can put it off for another time. Because as we'll go on to see, Herod, I believe, crossed a particular deadline. It sealed his destiny. God is speaking to you, and His Holy Spirit is striving with you tonight. You realize that you are not saved. And can I urge you in Christ's name, heed that voice. Come to Christ tonight and be saved. I believe Herod's heart became hardened to sin. In verse 8 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, we read that when he saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. You might think, well, that was good. Why would he not be glad to see the Lord? There's no mention here of brokenness or contrition or heaviness. Here he is for the very first time brought face to face with the Savior. And if he really at this stage felt the weight of his sin, he would be in awe and wonder of Christ. No, there's no brokenness, there's just gladness. There's merriment. Oh, Herod thinks he's in for a show here. That he's going to get the Lord to do some great miracle. He's not concerned about salvation. All he's concerned about is a show. His heart has become hardened to the Lord. It's a reality, a dreadful reality. That sinner, your heart can become hardened to the gospel. And you can sit under gospel preaching week in and week out. And never be moved by the gospel the way you were. That's a reality. The privilege that Herod enjoyed. But I want you to see as well with me something more about Herod's life. I want you to see the place at which he rejected. I made mention a few moments ago, I believe that a particular place, at a particular point and juncture in his life, Herod rejected the Lord. And that rejection was final. For Herod, I believe it was a place of worldly entertainment and pleasure. A place of enjoying the things of this world and all sorts of sinful activities. It was Herod's birthday and he had called a party and all of his cronies and all of his friends gathered together for his big celebration. And Herod was living it up in his sin. And at this party, there is the daughter of Herodias, the woman whom he was living in adultery with. And the daughter came in and she started to dance and Herod was pleased. And you know the story. He turned to the little girl and he said, "You tell me what you want and I'll give it to you. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you." Herod was making a deal with the world. Herod was bargaining with the world. He was trying to appease his conscience. He made a pact with the world. The little girl went to her mother, and the mother, who obviously was very hostile to John the Baptist and hated the preaching of John the Baptist, he said, "Go and tell Herod I want the head of that preacher on the plate." She wanted to silence God's messenger. So she goes back to Herod. And she tells him what it is that she wants. In other words, Herod, take the life of John the Baptist. That one who's preached unto you, that one who has told you about your sin, that one that God has used to speak to you, to convict you. I want you now to take him and silence him. What did Herod do? Herod, that very night, in that place of sin, chose to silence the voice of God in his life. That night, Herod chose the sin over the Savior. That night, Herod turned his back on the Lord in the midst of that party, that place, that point. He chose the world over the Lord. I wonder tonight, is there someone in this meeting? And that's what you're doing. You're choosing the world over the Lord. And you want to hold on to your sin as long as you can. You want to hold on to the ways of sin. And tonight you're choosing the sin of your life over the Savior of your life. But dear sinner, be warned. In so doing, can silence the voice of the Savior forever. Herod that night chose to silence the voice of God through the life of John the Baptist. His life. Is that what you're choosing? Dr. Paisley used to tell the story of a lady who came to his meetings in the old Ravenhill Church. This lady was under deep conviction of sin often during his preaching. And it was clear that the Lord was really speaking to her. But then one night he noticed that something was different. There was no conviction now as she came out of the meeting. No concern, no trembling, no tears. And he said to her on the way out, "Has something happened? You seem so unmoved tonight. Has something happened? Other nights you left in tears, but tonight you're quite happy." And the lady turned to Dr. Paisley and she said, "Last Sunday evening I went home so troubled, so concerned, and so convicted of my sin. And I couldn't sleep." She says, "I got out of my bed that night. And I got down on the side of my bed and I pleaded with the Lord, 'Stop speaking to me.'" And the Lord answered her prayer. Because that lady's heart had become hardened to the gospel. She didn't want the Savior. She rejected the strivings of the Holy Spirit of God in her life. And she silenced the voice of Almighty God. Is there someone in this meeting tonight? And that's how you're living. You're wanting to silence God's Spirit in your life. Herod, by his sinful, willful rejection, silenced God's voice. He thought he would hear from the Lord again, but he didn't. As we close this evening, I want you to see now the plight that he experienced. Oh, Herod thought he was the big lad. Herod thought he could twist and manipulate every situation. And he's looking forward to hear and to see, especially what the Lord has to say to him. And now, for the first time in his life, he's brought face to face with the Savior. We read that he had much knowledge of Christ in verse number 8. He had heard many things of him. That's a very telling statement. He knew all about Christ. He'd heard many things about him. And you see, tonight there are multitudes in hell lost in their sin who know so many things about Christ. There are people who sit in our gospel meetings week after week, and they could get up and preach the very gospel that we seek to preach. They know so much about Christ. They know so much about the way of salvation. And it's all up here. But if all you have is a head knowledge of Christ and your heart has never been affected by His gospel, then it has no point. If you just know about Him but do not know Him, then you're as lost tonight. The vilest of sinners. Herod had heard many things. He knew many things about Christ. And so Christ is brought in. And he asks so many questions. Verse 9. One question after another. An attempt to belittle the character of Christ. Many words from the sinner, but not one word from the Savior. What a terrible, tragic plight this man experienced. Herod's fate was sealed, his destiny was settled. Silence of the Savior sentenced this man to the flames of hell for all eternity. Verse number 11, we see that they sought to set him at naught, mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. My mind has turned to those words in Matthew chapter 7, where many will say to the Lord in that day of judgment, "Lord, Lord. Lord, don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've done? Lord, Lord, open heaven and let me in." You might be living the most upright, moral, good life that you can. And that's good. But if you do not have Christ in your heart, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then all your uprightness and all your self-righteousness count as nothing. The only goodness that you need, the only righteousness that you need tonight is the righteousness of Christ. Christ is now silent to Herod. The day of grace for this man was past. We never read of Herod hearing the voice of the Lord again. The last word Herod would have heard from the Lord was that awful word, "Depart. Depart. Sinner, you live in your sin. You die in your sin. The last word you will hear from the judge of all the earth, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But while God in mercy and love and kindness and tenderness to your soul tonight is pleading with you, heed that warning. Do not silence the Savior's voice to you by your rejection, because it could be for the last time. How do you know? How do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. But let him say, someday you'll hear God's final call to you. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew God's final call. God's final call. I know Mr. Horace will agree with me on what I say. But there are phone calls that I dread receiving. Of those who have sat under the preaching of the gospel, rejected the gospel, and a family member or an undertaker rings to say, will you conduct this person's funeral? The worst phone call you could ever get. There is a time, we know not when, place we know not where, seals the destiny of men for heaven or despair. There is a line by us unseen which crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience, God's wrath. Herod crossed that deadline. He lived on in his life for years after this. Could it be that this Harvest Monday night service, could it be that you will seal your destiny by rejecting for one last time God's offer of salvation? Oh, turn. Turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading. Steer for the harbour light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Sinner, don't silence the Savior's voice to you. But as the Lord is calling, as the Lord is speaking, come and leave your sin ere you should reap the harvest for your sinful rejection and experience the whirlwind of God's wrath. He extends to you tonight His mercy, His love, His salvation. He pleads with you tonight, come. Leave your sin. Come and be saved. What will you do? What will you do? Because what you do with Christ in life will determine what He does with you in death. You reject Him in life, He'll reject you in death. But you receive Him, in death He'll receive you. Therefore, what is it tonight? Heaven? Or hell, glory, or despair? Are you going to keep your sin? Or are you going to come to the Savior? Let's bow in prayer. And if the Spirit has been striving with you tonight and over recent days as well, you've realized that you are not right with God, then why not come tonight? Come and be saved. He invites you tonight, pleads with you. Ere you cross that deadline, make that need known to Mr. Horace, myself, or some other Christian you know in the meeting. Make sure tonight you're right with God. Our Father and our God in heaven, we pray that you will be pleased by thy Holy Spirit to write thy word upon our hearts. God, we pray that tonight sinners might decide for Christ. Leave that broad way. And tonight, start for heaven. Lord, write thy word upon every heart tonight. Bring the sinner to thyself. Lord, bring the lost to the cross. For Lord, we thank thee tonight, there's still pardon, forgiveness, still cleansing, found at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear and answer prayer in the Savior's name we pray. Amen.